Got Your Ears On is brought to you by Tactical Legion Knives. Live from the campus of Top Radio, under the direction of Guido, Scoot, and Johnson, it's the pride of podcasting. It's Got Your Ears On.
All right, everybody, hello and welcome to this week's episode of Got Your Ears On. I'm Guido, along with Scoot.
Yo!
And Johnson!
Neighbors mowing, Guido. Thank you, neighbors.
I tell you, the neighbor mows. I think our schedule is synced with his mowing schedule.
It must be, and I think he just wants to just test you on the limits of your editing prowess, ability. Is what I read that as. That's all.
Yeah. I think that more likely he's a Pitt fan. That's what I think.
Well, that might be the case. I think I've got a carton of eggs and some TP I can spare.
All set up already in the garage, ready to toss. Guys, it's time. And I want to say something very special right now.
Okay. I want to hear something really special.
We are going to start off segment one of this show talking about football.
All right.
We're not going to talk about
are we allowed
if they're
to
gonna
do
play
that?
Or they're not going to. Yes, I hear we're allowed to do that. I hear we're playing football in a few weeks. We're going to talk football. WVU camp has opened. The boys are starting to put pads on and helmets, and football is happening. So we're going to talk about the sport of football.
I like it. Let's do it.
We may throw some COVID in later, but we'll talk football now. We'll talk football.
I like it.
Speaking of football, though, to start things off, did you guys see the video of the new locker room for WVU?
Yeah, it's amazing, in a word.
It's like the Disney World of places to get naked and change your clothing.
If I could pick an awesome place to get naked and shower, it would be in that locker
room. That's quite a turn of phrase, Scoot. I don't know that anyone has ever said that sentence before.
It's awesome. So, again, this is, you know, WVU trying to, you know, for lack of a better term, keep up with the Joneses in the world of Division One football.
Well, it is like an arms race, isn't it? It's like, talk about a recruiting tool. The guys, you know, the little blurb video that WVU had put out, the guys were going nuts as soon as they saw it. So I'm sure if you're trying to sway someone's decision, I'm sure that's quite a tool in your arsenal.
Well, I don't know if you guys remember last season, before the 2019 season started, LSU, it was big news about LSU's new locker room that they
had. Yep.
And those lockers were just ridiculous. Like, everybody had like a touch screen in their locker.
Yeah, right.
You know, concierge service or something. I don't know. But I think it is definitely a recruiting tool that these, you know, you're going to get the best players to come to your school if you have the coolest facility, you know. So I think it definitely helps. I mean, Scooty chose to go to West Virginia Wesleyan for that reason, right?
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Nice locker rooms. Nice,
based on
nice,
the locker rooms. I checked the shower pressure, the water pressure in the showers. That was a big deal.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Those were things that were on his list.
Exceptionally scalding hot when somebody flushed the toilet. Don't know if that's, is that a thing in every college?
Well, they want to make sure you're getting
clean. Did that happen to you at WVU, Johnson? In your dorm?
I don't know that I remember the water temperature over the lack of air conditioning and other things we were wanting. So I don't remember, to be honest.
We had to, like, it was like an unwritten rule. It's kind of like a baseball has unwritten rules. You're not allowed to flip the bat. You're not allowed to stare at the pitcher. You weren't allowed to flush the toilet without yelling shower while somebody was in the shower.
That is 100%
and
true.
I did that one time. Can I go off on a tangent real quick? I did that one time. And
did you get roughed up or what? You get people come looking for you?
Okay, so
like wet, ringing hair people came looking for you?
So I flush, guy in the shower, totally forgot about it. I mean, how often do you think about that when you're flushing, you yell shower? So I flush, I go out. There is a guy who, as I'm walking out, I catch his eyes. He's looking over the shower curtain, kind of with like a, I couldn't see the rest of his body, thankfully. But from eyes to forehead up, it was a stern look.
Okay.
So I'm like,
he was
giving
you the shower eye.
I may have screwed that up. I thought I may have really done myself in. Well, I may not have totally seen him, but he totally saw me. And the next time I got a shower,
he ID'd the perp.
Like, I think like he did a sting operation. I go get a shower. Guess whose towel is missing when I get out, when I turn the shower off? I was like, you got to be freaking kidding me.
Oh, this is bad.
What am I going to do?
This is bad.
Oh, it was bad. It was bad. There was a curtain involved. There was. Luckily, my dirty drawers were still involved. I could piece together something.
Now, did this scar you such that, like, you know, when you're in the restroom now, you'll yell at the wife, shower, when you flush? Like,
I'm 25 years out and I'm still yelling shower every time I flush the toilet. My family thinks it's weird. Like, I've got some sort of issues.
Little PTSD right there.
Yeah. Oh my God, that was bad.
Well, I have a feeling the new locker rooms at Mountaineer Field don't have that problem. They probably have one of those.
I'm thinking they've got that under control, Scoot.
That's probably under control there. Other thing is, so football camp has started. We're what, 6-7 days into camp?
Yeah, right.
One news that come out over the weekend, unfortunately, was Nick Troy Fortune's mother had passed away unexpectedly. So he is not with the team right now. And Coach Brown kind of said he'd be back when he's back.
Yeah.
He needed to take whatever time that he needed for being away. He's, being a sophomore corner, expected to start this year. Luckily, I think we have a lot of time between now and when we play a game. So hopefully it won't affect his playing time, but it's definitely something that we're sorry to hear. I listened to Coach's press conference from over the weekend, and here was kind of the interesting news to me that, and I'm sure other colleges are doing this, but so they're split squatting practices, Johnson. So you basically, instead of having one big practice with all of your players, you're taking your team, you're splitting it in half, and coaches are having to practice twice a day, much longer, but now you've got players spread out through that whole time and players that are getting more reps and more time with coaching and more education.
Yeah,
it's kind of an interesting way.
Coach Brown was saying, I mean, I guess it's normal to have gold and blue splits, but he kind of alluded to people getting a little more instruction one-on-one than maybe they would get to. And I thought that it was interesting too, just to hear him talk about how at one point someone asked him about, you know, is it odd not having scouts or press or anyone in the stadium? And he said, well, no, actually we would, or they asked him, you know, is it,
has it affected anything?
Yeah. Is it affecting the way you're approaching things? Like it allows you to maybe be more open and things. And he said, no, actually it's kind of exactly the opposite, because when you guys are there, people tend to want to show out and show off their skills and give you something to write about and look at. And so he said, he's been tired because some guys he's got to get going. So it's up to him and the coaches to kind of manufacture some of that excitement. So that was interesting to hear him say.
To get some of that energy. Out. Yeah. Yeah. He said it's a noticeable difference. Yeah. I thought that was interesting.
It was great though, Guido, not to cut you off, but to hear him say, we're in the stadium, I get jazzed up, because you forget with all this craziness, you know, since February, March, just to hear him say, hey, we're in the stadium, we're getting work done, and it's exciting. It was like, it was great, just great to hear him talk about it, being inside the stadium.
Yeah, so it was interesting to hear how they're kind of going about practices right now. He talked a lot how they were doing a lot of 7-on-7 front side, backside stuff, trying to build strength in the lines, which I think is, you know, super interesting. And compared to what we dealt with last season, maybe not so much on the defensive line, but on the offensive line side, is super important. He seems to sound super excited about the offensive line.
Yeah, he does. And a lot of people are starting to talk about it, you know, actually saying don't be surprised if you see them being the most improved offensive line. That's amazing.
Well, and he threw out a couple of names of some young players, you know, redshirt freshman Brandon Yates, Parker Moore, who's also a redshirt freshman, who may see some decent playing time this year. True freshman Zach Frazier, all three names that he threw out about getting a lot of reps, about guys working really hard, and how deep that offensive line might be. So he seems pretty happy about that.
Yeah, Scoot, I think that's exciting.
They need to be as deep as they could possibly
be. Well, you know,
after last year was rough. Last year was a year where I thought, okay, I know we had lost a couple of guys due to either graduation or the NFL or whatever. I felt last year was a big time growing year for a lot of guys. I think we had some injuries too. I know that we had guys shifting over from one side to the other, and we need as much depth as we can, and hopefully this year we can see some of the growth come to fruition out of some of those guys.
Yeah, I think so. I think you'll see it. The other good thing to remember about this year, and this is, you know, again, forecasting out, is that this is a pretty soft senior class. There aren't a ton of seniors in this class, and so you're going to have a lot of junior and sophomore offensive linemen, redshirt juniors, you know, offensive linemen that are going to get see a ton of playing time, which is can be kind of scary in some instances because of the youth, but also when you think about 2021, when there won't be an asterisk next to the season, when you think about 2021, this will be great for this offensive line.
Well, and I thought it was interesting too when they repeatedly brought up Scotty Young, which I wanted to make a comment to you about that, Guido, later, but just for Scotty Young in particular, I guess the NCAA hasn't completely granted him the ability to play this season, and Coach Brown, as like in the most Coach Brown way ever, you know, I think people try to throw negative stuff at Coach Brown and he still Coach Browns it into like a positive situation.
I thought it was interesting how he did it.
And he's like, well, you know, for us, if that happens, then that's someone with experience then that comes back into the locker room next year when we're probably going to need some folks, you know, with some experience in the locker room. So that was interesting to hear him say.
And he's here's the honest truth about Scotty Brown and where I think that's going to fall. So, I mean, great transfer from the Pac-12, you know, saw a lot of playing time there. I think the NCAA will approve. I think the NCAA is going to be way more lenient this year in general with grad transfers, just because of these schools having so many kids that are going to opt out and just such weird issues. But, you know, I just think it's interesting to see that connection that Jamal Adai has with these players, bringing these players from, you know, Arizona and other places in. And that was one thing that came up, is just how phenomenal of a recruiter he is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's an interesting.
Do you think there's any connection also between Jeff Castile and some of these Arizona guys?
Well, there certainly could be. Yeah.
You know, at the very least, he's maybe talking to Rich.
Yeah.
I mean, he may not have actually laid eyes on him himself, but he may have been talking to Rich Rod about, hey, you know, what do you know about this kid?
Yeah, or I mean, just, you know, had his own experiences with some of these players, and probably either the areas that they were recruiting out there. I'm sure you're right, Scoot. I'm sure that plays into it too. I think, Guido, the thing I was going to mention to you that I thought was funny is people wanted to ask about Scotty Young, but they, in the presser, they also wanted to continue to ask about other grad transfers. And so Coach Brown would say, you know, someone would say like, so, you know, is there anyone else we should keep our eye on? And Coach Brown would, he kept saying, well, you know, what I'll do is I'll kind of put a list of those guys together. There's still some things being worked out, and next time we get together, I'll talk about that. And then they'd go to the next question. They'd be like, you know, talking about Scotty Young, are there any other grad transfers we should keep, you know, be looking out for? And then he'd be like, well, what I'll do is put a list of. It was like he very nicely kept like
Scotty with an IE, not a Y.
I think, I think that, you know, right now, I'll say this right now, Scotty Young is probably the biggest name we have for grad transfer to come in. That may change in the next couple of weeks with everything going on in the NCAA.
Are you predicting a Justin Fields at quarterback?
I don't think we're going to see Justin Fields at quarterback, but it'll be interesting to see what happens with the NCAA.
Scoot, now you would have been interested to know that they talked about Gerard Piqué calling some plays.
Air France.
The French Air French raid.
He said that Gerard Parker.
We like to refer to him as Gerard.
He's making or at least in the scrimmage over the weekend, he did all of the play calling, which I think is really interesting.
You think it was c'est bon?
Maybe. I think it was interesting. So do we think that coach, this is something Coach Brown's going to give up, and we're going to see more and more of him not calling in plays as much?
Well, I think you're going to see, I think any good leader allows others to lead, right? So if you are a strong leader, you want people underneath that are going to become strong leaders themselves. So, you know, I think this is just an opportunity for Gerard Parker to show some of his thought process as he, you know, as he sees a game. I think it also could be a good thing, you know, if something were to happen, let's, you know, knock on wood and pray to God that everyone stays healthy and safe. But let's say Coach Brown, for some reason, has to be quarantined. You need to have somebody else that can has at least called some sort of play somewhere, even if it's in a scrimmage, but has at least called something. So I think that that's another, especially with the talent that they have right now. Now you can look at Jared Parker and say, okay, he's called some plays with these guys. Right. He has an idea of what they can do.
Right.
Yeah. And I think the other thing he mentioned that you got a question on with, and Guido, we've been talking, both you guys, we've been talking about how you can hear everything on like baseball broadcasts and stuff these days. They were asking him questions about, you know, does that change the way you signal in plays or communicate plays? And he actually did speak to that a little bit. Like they actually have two or three options that they've worked on how to get plays in from the sideline and stuff like that, just in case there's,
do you think you'll see more of the Cobra crew?
Yeah, you know, that's what it made me think of, the towel cobras around the placards and stuff.
I think those guys are ridiculous.
It'll be interesting to see what the regulations will be this year, because unlike in baseball, any other sport, baseball, hockey, or basketball, sports, professional sports that are happening now, crowd noise plays much more of a factor on defense and offense and play calls and crowd noise affecting, you know, cadences for quarterbacks. So it's going to be interesting to see what, you know, the NCAA, what the NFL is going to allow stadiums to do when they create that crowd noise like they've
What would doing. Be hilarious is if the NCAA didn't really regulate it all that much and teams would, you know, within reasonable limits, pump up the volume of fake crowd noise when they're on defense, and then when they're on offense, either zero crowd noise or just a couple of crickets on occasion.
Yeah, right. It'll be interesting. Nothing's really come out on that. It's going to be one of those things that we probably won't know until we watch a couple of games, but it should be interesting. Sticking on the defensive side of the ball, guys, some really kind of great news came out too was Tyke Smith, two interceptions in this weekend's scrimmage, sophomore safety. So that's good to see the defense. I mean, we were happy with the defense last year. It's good to see the defense continuing to build this year.
Well, is it okay if I'm honest and tell you that my initial reaction was, I don't like to know that the quarterback threw two interceptions, but, you know.
But you don't know what quarterback that was.
True. Yeah,
that could have been Garrett Green, freshman Garrett Green.
We don't know.
I have an idea. I'll just say that. I have an idea. But anyway,
you have an idea who might have thrown those interceptions.
Yeah, I have a hunch.
Was there somebody who threw interceptions last year?
Well, season? That was just where my mind went. You know, my mind was like, for sure, good on Tyke, but then who threw those guys?
Did we have a lot of interceptions last year? I can't remember.
There might have been a couple of wounded ducks. I think that a couple things from that. The defense, I don't think we're really going to skip a beat as far as, you know, no Coach Vic. I think that's in the past. I don't see that as being a impediment. I think that's the word I want to the defense continuing to grow. And I think with Jamal Adai and Jordan Leslie, I think the kids seem to really buy into those two guys. They really respond well to both of those coaches. And I don't see that being any different now, any less. I don't see it being any issue. So
if not, maybe a little better, to be honest with you.
Right.
You don't know. You know, he talked about Darius, which, you know, Darius still is going to be the name of the season. He's it's rare for a collegiate football team that the star player of the team.
You mean friend of the show, Darius Stills?
Friend of the show, Darius Stills. It's rare in any football, pro, collegiate, any amateur, you know, Pop Warner. It's rare that a defensive lineman is the star player of the team. Like he is the poster boy of the team this year. You're going to see him, you know, everywhere. And Coach pretty much came out and said, we expect him to be the best defensive lineman in the Big 12. And so it's a lot of, you know, we think about Darius a lot. We hope he does well. It's a lot of pressure to put on him. It's going to be a great opportunity for him to, you know, push himself up to a first round draft pick if he has a great season.
I think selfishly you'd like him to be so that you can say that you went to the same school as a first round draft pick in the NFL.
This is true. I think I already did, though. I think there have been a couple.
First-round draft picks? That's pretty good.
I think so. I'd have to go.
I don't know Fairmont history as well.
Is this another one of your 1907 Crazy Legs Jackson played for the Colts or something? Or like,
yeah. I'd have to look.
He played for the Ramblin' Red Legs back in out of Cincinnati. Back when they had the...
Don't worry. We still got to bluff your fluff today, guys.
Well, that's what I'm thinking about.
I'm thinking, though,
Who is your closest Darius-like player on the offensive side of the ball? I have an opinion, but I wanted to see what you guys thought.
Darius, you mean as in a star?
Yeah,
so who
is to the offense as Darius is to the defense?
That's a good question.
Who do you think that would be I don't know.
I think Sam James has the ability this year to be that player. You know, I'm not sure either of the quarterback options will. So I'd have to go.
And that's no slight on them. I just think with the quarterback situation, the way it ended up, it's hard. You know, I think we need to see more to see who the, or at least
right.
Not to declare a starter. I'm not saying that, but to declare like a leader of that, I think you have to go with Sam. And I think the reason I brought it up though, is because if you paid attention to the conversation from Coach Brown, he kind of led things off today with some praise of Sinkfield, and I thought that was excellent too. I think we've got some real depth. Like, our receiving core sounds so strong again.
Well, here's again what I think. Season. I think in order for me to think about a running back being the face of the offense,
yeah,
the offensive line has got to step up in order for that to happen.
Fair.
They can't play like they did last year.
Right. They can't take on 11 guys. Yeah.
No. So I think it's going to have to be a wide receiver, because primarily you're going to have one or two go-to guys. Sam seems to have been the guy last year that was the go-to guy, and he had moments of explosiveness. He also had some moments of like, hey, I'm a freshman and I'm not going to catch this ball.
Yeah, sure. But he's, you can definitely see his talent.
Right.
I mean, he's got blazing speed, and
right.
I think he's a member of a really impressive, WVU receiving corps right now.
I wish he had Big George's height.
Yeah, sure.
Right.
If he had Big George's height, I think that would be I don't want to say a more complete package, but
you know, I think that's where Bryce Wheaton and some of these other guys come into play
Winston
too.
Wright,
like I said, they each have their own strengths. I mean, it's a really strong receiving core. So I think it's somewhere from that group is
Allie Jennings.
To. Yeah. Someone you look to on the offense.
I think, and you know, this is the hard part. And again, I'll go back to say that there are very few seniors, especially in those positions. There are very few seniors on this team. And I think that this is where the hard part is that Coach Brown and probably Gerard have not had a chance to plug in their quarterback into this offense yet.
I agree with that. I think
they're still playing with quarterbacks that aren't necessarily their style or set. And I think that as Garrett Green starts to, you know, evolve, maybe some of these others.
Selfishly, I'm hoping that Goose is the guy that ends up taking the reins. Goose Crowder.
So,
come on, that's a great
Goose
name.
Crowder.
Yeah. You just want to say Goose.
Can you hear the crowd? We used to yell Bruce. Can you hear the crowd yelling Goose on a first down? Let's start that. Got your ears, guys. We're going to start the Goose.
I like
the Goose cheer on first downs.
I like it.
I think that, you know, you're looking at a couple guys that are definitely going to get redshirted this year. It'll just be interesting to see how it develops over the next 2 years with – you know, some of these receivers, you know, I mean, you think about it. Sam James is what, a redshirt sophomore?
Sure.
So
yeah.
He's got 3 years eligibility left.
Right.
I mean, you there's a lot of years, there's a lot of time to still build it. It makes me feel good. And then one of the things that they talked about was, you know, what does 2021 recruiting look like? Not only because of it's hard, you can't travel right now. They can't go meet kids, they can't go see games.
Yeah.
Possibly this fall for high school.
It's
on
be
top
a lot
of that.
Huddle.
It's going to be a lot of huddle. It's going to be a lot of YouTube videos. It's going to be a lot of that. And, and on top of that, you know, we have a pretty small senior class. And then you've got a lot of players, not a lot yet, but you have players that are opting out of their eligibility, opting out. And so they retain their eligibility for a year, most likely.
Right.
So 2021 recruiting is going to look super different this year, too. I think you're going to see a lot of high school seniors have, I mean, obviously you'd have the cream of the crop, the top echelon that'll get places. But I think you'll see a lot of high school seniors that could have gone D1 that are going to have a hard time finding a place to
go. It'll be interesting. Yeah, it'll be interesting. But I feel like, I feel like that the people that are in that top echelon, they'll be found. I think, unfortunately, maybe I'm being cynical,
I'll be honest,
but
it's the camps.
Yeah, it's the people that kind of need to be discovered. They might have a rougher time than
some of those kids will have decent high school seasons, but it's those camps where you make the connections with the different coaches that are there.
Raise some eyebrows and stuff.
You're like, holy crap.
I wonder if the NCAA will change their recruiting timeline because of all of this, you know, and not make it so stringent on these players having that December and that February, those February timelines, and give them a little bit more time to have coaches come and see them. And especially when you're talking about allegedly, you know, the Big Ten and the Pac-12 are going to play in the winter. Like, it's going to be different.
Well,
really,
I know, in a lot of sports, not just football, we have a friend, Guido and I do, a college classmate who has a daughter that plays at a pretty high level softball, and to the point where had she had a normal summer, she probably would be sifting through a lot of Division I softball offers, but those have been slow because the tournaments, a lot of those tournaments didn't happen. She had very minimal exposure to some of those college coaches. The dead period is longer.
Yeah.
So it's left a lot of those kids, especially the ones that play the spring sports, kind of like, okay, what? Because a lot of those kids, they're getting recruited before their senior season big time because they play in the spring and it's so close to the...
Well, I can just see it having an effect for sure. So it'll be interesting to see.
And I think it's hard, you know, as a coach to rely on YouTube and huddle videos when you kind of want to go to the game, and you would definitely want to see the things that they do right and they shine at, but you want to also see the mistakes that they make when they're out there. Sure. So you know what you're going to have to correct when you recruit somebody
right.
in. And I think it's going to just be very, a very strange and very difficult for recruiting time for everybody.
My concern is more with Neil Brown's goatee.
Oh, man.
I don't like the goatee either.
No, I had the same thought the whole time. I was trying to listen, and I was staring at the goatee.
I don't know if it doesn't fit. It's as if somebody has taken,
photoshopped a goatee onto his face.
An Etch-A-Sketch or something and done it, like, over his face.
Or, like, he just needs to trim it down so it's not so thick. I feel like it's too much.
It's as if somebody had this weird, like, I don't know, pencil shavings or something, and then stuck it over his face and then took it off.
Yeah, you remember the old magnet things you used to do? Yeah, it was like,
that's exactly what it's like. What is going on with it? His wife can't be happy with this. Is it a real goatee?
I think it's real.
I mean, do you have to shape it in order for it to be a goatee?
It's part of his, like, incognito. He wants to be in places where the players won't recognize. So he goes over and he's like, he smooths it on.
Is it evil Coach Brown?
Do you think Hugs has inspired this goatee?
Well, ooh, maybe.
Maybe there's a competition.
You think it's a competition? An unspoken competition.
Maybe. Maybe that is. So, fun. Hey, was that a good time to talk about football?
Yeah, that was
fun. It felt like
we should do
life
more
was
of
normal.
That.
We should do more of that.
In fact, can we talk about September 12th? Maybe actually getting on the field? Do we still think that's a go?
I'm going to say yes as well. I am more confident after last week. And if you listen to our show last week, it was very doom and gloom. You know, the world is not going to have football.
A whole heavy dose of reporting the COVID.
Yeah. And so I'm actually at a point now, especially what I see happening. I really do think that they're going to play games. I don't know how deep in the season they'll get. I don't know if they'll get a full season in. I know nobody's made any official statement, but I just don't see fans in the stands. It's going to be weird, but I think there's going to be football.
Well, I asked the question mainly because, you know, September 12th would be our Eastern Kentucky game. I'm just wondering, is there any thought in the back of your all's minds that Eastern Kentucky shuts it all down before then? And that's one less game.
I don't think so.
I tend to feel like if it's going to happen, Big 12 games are going to happen because people are going to, you know, hold hands and try to make that work. But what about that type of game?
Well, and I think it'll happen just for the fact of maybe Eastern Kentucky? Because they're in what, the OVC? Like, they play Ohio Valley Conference.
Right, I think that's right. Yeah.
Maybe Ohio Valley Conference gets shut down. I bet you those FBS schools or FCS schools, they end up playing their D1 opponents just to get the payout.
They've already moved their conference schedule to the spring. They've given them up to four non-conference games in the fall that they can go to, because I think the OVC realizes this is when our members get paid. So I'd be very surprised, since they're only going to be playing four games, I'd be very surprised if that changes, especially with, you know, if as long as WVU or some of these big schools don't have crazy outbreaks between now and then, I don't see why they wouldn't play.
So Eastern Kentucky, last year when they played ECU, got paid $450,000 for that game. So I imagine playing WVU, they're probably pushing, you know, high six figures into $1 million.
Yeah, that's interesting. I guess that would do some convincing, I would think.
Johnson, as our ECU correspondent, do you find that payout is financially responsible by ECU to pay anyone to play football?
Well, considering the hardship that ECU's been on these last couple seasons, it might be questionable. Yeah, it might be questionable. But
what's more questionable, the purple in their uniform or the fact that they're paying other colleges to play them?
Well, that's probably one they can win, so they might have to pay for some of those, Scoot. I don't know. I think you're going to be hard-pressed to get the purple away from these people. I know you don't like it, but they're big fans. So.
I mean, these non-conference opponents, you know, that's a lot of money for an Ohio Valley Conference school to come and play, you know, a D1 opponent. That's how that's always gone. But I can't imagine they don't come and collect that check.
Well, you mentioned Big Ten and Pac-12 earlier, and I just wanted to ask you really quick. So, one of the things I had kind of earmarked during the week since last show, the Big Ten's getting some really serious pressure from parents and players about their decision. So we saw, I think we talked about the Penn State parents have all put together big pressure on Penn State's administration and the school president to come out and give them some answers on shutting it down, I think a week after they release their schedule. And then Justin Fields, Scoot mentioned Justin Fields. Justin Fields, he's got a campaign out there that's adding more signatures all the time to say, hey, let us play and let's not go with the decision that the conference has made. So I just bring that up because I think it's interesting that, you know, they're getting a whole lot of pressure about this.
So Justin Fields he's making the rounds. I mean, today was the new morning show on ESPN Radio. Zubin and Keyshawn Johnson he was on that show. He's college football. That's rare to hear a college, you know, he was on that show complaining about the Big Ten and wanting to play. And I'm sure, you know, they had to get approval from Ohio State's athletic department for that. And that goes to show you that Ohio State's athletic department wants to play football. So, you know, it's going to be interesting because these schools want to play. And even though, and I think there's probably, knowing the Big 12 and knowing the Pac-12 or Big Ten and Pac-12, there's probably a couple of schools that don't really care if they play, but there's Penn State wants to play. Michigan wants to play. Nebraska is going to be in the NFL Central, NFC Central. So, you know, it's going to be interesting over the next couple of weeks as this pressure continues to build. But the question is like, they don't have much time to try.
When is the drop dead date for that decision? I mean, come on. And then Guido, also something I earmarked, your favorite person ever, Mark Emmert announced there'd be no Division I fall championships. I know that probably got under your skin. I just laughed out loud when I read that
except for the FBS, except for the bowl season.
But it's another, isn't it another one of those like half baked? I'm taking a stance while not really taking a stance. Statements is what it felt like to me.
The part that makes me angry is that and I love WVU football, but it becomes completely about money, because it's okay for a football team with 100 kids on its roster to have practices and play games, but it's not okay for a swimming team that has no contact whatsoever, or, you know, name it, golf. They yeah, can't have their
I, yeah, I know where you're going. It's like, really? You know,
it's, I don't, you know, it goes to, it again, goes back to the issue of, it becomes more and more about money.
Yeah.
For both the institutions and...
Which we already know that, but it becomes laughable, I think, when you hear him speak and he makes statements like that. Anyway, that's the only reason I bring it up. It just made me laugh.
Well, in good news, COVID's pretty much under control in the program right now. There's a total of 3 active cases at WVU in the athletic department. 2 of them are staff members of the athletic department, and 1 of them is somebody from an Olympic sport, so not football or basketball. So, you know, that's pretty good right now, considering you've got 100 football players practicing every day. So I'm happy with the trajectory that it's,
yeah,
it's taking.
And obviously they're doing what they need to do and keeping it under control, so kudos to them.
All right, guys, well, listen, let's take a break. We'll come back, and we'll do everybody's favorite game show on a WVU podcast. So we like to call Bluff the Fluff. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to Got Your Ears On.
Vortech Knives is a West Virginia owned and operated company specializing in high quality steel, fast opening, everyday carrying knives. If you go to VortechKnives.com today and use the code GYEO, you get a 25% discount on your entire order. That's Vortech, V-O-R-T-E-K, Knives.com, a West Virginia-owned and operated company specializing in fast-opening, high-quality, everyday carry knives. Vortech Knives.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Got Your Ears On. Guido along with Scoot and Johnson. Don't forget, look for us online on social media at Got Your Ears on Instagram and Twitter. You can find us on Facebook, Got Your Ears On, all those fine places. And we retweet things. We tell you what's going on. We make fun of each other on the Twitter. So definitely check it out. Guys, it's time for everybody's favorite game show on a West Virginia podcast. It is time for Bluff the Fluff.
I feel like we've cornered the market on that.
We have. We have. And you want to know the exciting news, Johnson, is you need to be nervous tonight.
Why?
Because Scooty can tie it up tonight.
Well, yeah.
I'm just saying.
I mean, Scooty, I feel like I'm keeping him at bay right now. He went on that heater. He went on that heater, and then now I'm
Johnson,
keeping him at bay.
You're in real big trouble.
Oh, no, Scoot. Don't win tonight.
Listen, how do you guys do this? It's not scripted. You guys don't even know what tonight's about. You don't know. You pretend like it's
all
scripted.
No, I know. Scoot does that. Cause...
How nervous are you about what this is tonight, Scooty? Because you
if you've not learned anything yet in our 20-plus years of knowing each other, I've got nerves of steel.
Nerves
I don't
of steel.
Get nervous.
You don't get nervous at
all. I get even.
Well, last week, Scooty won when we talked about food and movies.
Yes.
So Johnson only leads 6-5.
So we've come up with a topic close to Johnson's heart. It is math, math, math.
I thought you were going to say Excel sheets and what formulas to use.
I mean, I would kick Scoot's butt on Excel.
No, because we're excited to be talking about West Virginia football again. It's another West Virginia football history quiz.
Nice.
Perfect. So,
random multiple choice questions.
How many questions are circa 1930 and prior is what I'd like to know.
There is
7 of 8.
There is only one question tonight that is about something that happened pre-1960.
Okay.
How's that?
All right.
Awesome.
That's better.
Is that fair?
That's better.
I was negative 17.
All right. Here we go. So, as always, before we start, guys, we want to remind you, a correct answer is worth 5 points. A steal is worth 10. The final bluff is worth 25 points. We flipped a coin before we started, and completely, totally random, Johnson was the winner, comes out, gets the first question.
Not
sweet.
Again.
Let's do it.
All right, Johnson, first question is to you. What bowl game has WVU played in the most? What bowl game has WVU played in the most? Is it the Sugar Bowl, the Camping World Bowl, the Peach Bowl, or the Gator Bowl?
I think, I've narrowed it to two in my head, but I'm going to go with, Jacksonville, Florida and the Gator Bowl.
That's correct. The Gator Bowl. They have played in the Gator Bowl a total of 7 times.
I would have gone with the Meineke Car Care Bowl.
The Meineke Car, the can. That's what I did. I like the Camping
Bowl. I mean, that was a good one.
Yeah. All right, Johnson, congratulations. 5 points. You take an early lead over Scooty. Scooty, this question
Guido, before you move on, though, do you happen to have on hand what the record is in the Gator Bowl? Because I feel like we've played Florida State 7 times and lost 7 or something to that effect.
Yeah, so we've played in it 7 times. We're 1-6.
Yeah, okay. That's what I was correct on. Yes, okay.
Yes, you were very close. All right, so next question is to you, Scooty. Johnson has a 5-point lead. WVU has had 91 homecoming games. What is their winning percentage for homecoming games? Is it 43%, 71%, 59%, or 65%?
I like 71%.
Sorry, that's incorrect. Johnson, your options are 43%, 59%, or 65%.
I feel like that's way too ambitious, Scoot. I'm going to go with 59%.
Ooh, Johnson is hot. Yes, 53, 35, and 3, 59% winning percentage for the homecoming games.
Because homecoming games are normally a conference foe, and it varies. Maybe sometimes they're down, sometimes they're up. But it's not like you can schedule a softie usually, right? I mean, sometimes you can.
I think you can. I think they can pick it.
Favorite WVU homecoming game? Favorite WVU homecoming game you've ever been to?
Oh, my gosh. Johnson? I don't know how to pick one.
Easy. 2001 Rutgers, where we scored like 45 points in the first quarter. Remember that? I think we won that game like 60-something
like
to 9.
80-7
yeah,
or something.
It was like some ridiculous number, right? Yeah. That's my favorite. I had a lot of Coors Lights that day, too. I was, I was back in my Coors Light days. But good WVU homecoming game. So, all right, Johnson takes the lead 15-0 over Scooty. And Johnson, this question is to you because you stole the last one. All right, here we go. Scoot, the answer to this question, by the way, is not Scooty.
Okay.
All right. I'll try to keep that in mind.
Who is the tallest player to ever play at WVU? All right. Was it Anthony Becht, John Ray, Wes Lyons, or Mike Compton?
Wes Lyons was on my mind, so I'm going to stick with him. Oh, man.
It's incorrect. Incorrect. Wes Lyons was 6'9". There's somebody out there
that
was taller.
Wow. Taller than 6'9".
Yeah, yeah. Anthony Becht, John Ray, or Mike Compton?
I'm going with Mike Compton. I don't know who he is, but it sounds like a tall guy.
Mike Compton was tall. He was a center in like the early 90s.
Yeah, and he played pro for a long time for the Patriots time.
Yep. He was 6'8", 300 pounds. Anthony Becht was 6'6", so he wasn't tallest. John Ray from their 1988 nearly national championship team's offensive tackle was 6'10", 320 pounds.
Wow, man, that is like blocking a bulldozer. How do you even do that?
He went on to play a couple years for the Colts in the 90s, but big, big dude right there.
Wow.
6'10", 320.
That's crazy. I did not know that.
All right. Nobody got any points right there. So, Scoot, this next question is back to you. Carl Chuck Kinder is the only player in WVU history to wear the number 100 on his jersey. What year did he wear it on his jersey? Was it 1947, 1963, 1972, or 1919?
Old Chucky Kinder, huh? Well, I was a big fan of his back.
He was a kicker.
Yeah, of course. That's why I like him.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously.
And what other number would you want a kicker to wear?
Yeah, I mean.
Usually one of the bigger, wider guys on your team. So
sure.
100
number,
probably.
Number 100.
Zero probably wrapped around the front.
Three digits prominently.
Yeah, he probably had a couple zeros wrapping around him.
You got an answer?
I'm going to go with 1947?
I like
1947.
Well, you shouldn't like that. That's an incorrect answer. So, Johnson, your options are 1947 is out. Your options are 1963, 1972, and 1990.
I'm going to go with 72.
Ooh. And I'm going to go with wrong.
1919. It's got to be 1919.
No, neither of you know anything about the state of West Virginia. He wore it in 1963 for the 100th celebration of statehood.
Yeah, but the 67 is when the university came in, so I didn't pay attention to that.
And wearing number 100 is ridiculous in general, so I didn't pay attention to either point.
Plus, I kind of lost track of thought when Scoot went 4 minutes on a monologue trying to think of a guess. So,
1963, he wore the number 100. It was a special petition by the university to the NCAA to allow a 3-digit number on a jersey to celebrate the 100th anniversary of the state.
Okay, well, that makes more sense.
Kind of ridiculous.
All right, Scoot. This question is to Johnson, right? We're back to...
Yes.
Whose question is it?
No,
I've
it's
lost
mine.
Track now
that
because
Scoot's,
it got so lost.
Mine.
All right. So this is your question, right, Johnson?
Yes.
Here we go. What is the most points WVU football has ever scored in a single game?
Okay.
Most points in a single game scored by WVU. Is it 81 points, 92 points, 73, or 86?
I believe this is 81, Guido.
It's incorrect. Scooty for 10 points and the steal.
Well, that's because Johnson forgot about that 2-point conversion and field goal, so I'm going with 86. Oh my god.
That's also incorrect. WVU scored 92 points in 1915 when they played Marshall University for the very first time.
Yeah, I knew it was Marshall. I didn't know it was in the 90s.
Yes.
Wow.
In front of 2,400 people, they scored 92 points against Marshall
2,400
University.
People got their retinas burned off watching WVU score points on these Marshall
so
people.
I assume it was a home game for Marshall?
Yes, it was. And it was a home game for Marshall.
That's tough.
And it was a home game.
That's
when we
tough
played that
to take
an
8,000-point loss on your home
in front
field.
Of a capacity
hate
crowd.
Hate that for them.
It's probably a capacity
Yeah, it was
crowd
probably called like the pre-Joan, the little Joan. No? No one's going to laugh at that? Okay. All right, that's fine.
It was
fine. That's fine.
Exhibition Park. All right, here we go, Scoot. Last question is to you before final bluff. Johnson still has the lead 15-0. You guys know nothing about WVU football history. Let's see how
false. We know things about non-weird questions. You always ask these hard questions that are kind of weird.
They are hard.
A tinge of weird to their hardness.
I feel like if you're a true fan, you should know the answer to some of these questions.
That's right. That's right. 100%
People
right.
People should let us know. Hit us up on Twitter. Are these questions too hard? I thought the 1963 question was a softball.
That was a confuser. Yes. You're right. We should have got that, but...
All right, Scoot, yes. Final question before final bluff is to you here. WVU won its first bowl game in 1938 against Texas Tech. What bowl game was it? Was it the Sugar Bowl, the Sun Bowl, the Orange Bowl, or the Sears Roebuck Bowl?
Well, I'm going to say it was out west. I'm going to say it was the Sun Bowl.
That's a correct answer. It was the Sun Bowl in 1938. Still active, a bowl that's still happening too, so... Way to go, Scoot. You getting a little bit of a comeback?
And you made up the Sears Roebuck Bowl.
I made up the Sears Roebuck Bowl. They weren't doing sponsored bowls back then.
That's what I figured.
All right, so here we go. We got Johnson with 15 points, Scooty with 5 points as we go into Final Bluff. As always, guys, you have to have your own buzzers for Final Bluff. So let's hear them. Scooty, what's your buzzer this week?
Ooga.
Okay. All right. And Johnson... What's your buzzer this week?
Ramps.
It doesn't work, man. You got whooped
you
with
it
last
week.
Week
with it.
You're going to get whooped with it again. Keep ramping it up.
All right, here we go. Last question, all right? There probably won't be fans this year in the stands, WVU games, but what was the largest game attendance in WVU history? Was it 68,938, 70,222, 67,715 or 68,409.
Ramps.
Johnson, in quick with it.
70,222. 1993, Miami Hurricanes.
Yep, there he goes. See, were you there?
People tore down goalposts. Fun was had.
Yep.
We all loved it.
And were you in attendance? Or did you?
I was sadly not there for that one. No, but
I was not in that day.
I had just learned West Virginia was a state at that time.
Oh,
come on, Steve.
So what you're saying is the education system is not that solid in New York's frying pan.
No, I jest. I learned about it like 2 years before that when I was in eighth grade.
He was part of the near Richmond crowd until
he was like, yeah, is that anywhere near Richmond?
Yeah.
I've heard about those wild horses. Tell me about those wild horses at the beach. I get that question all the time.
My family vacations at Virginia Beach every year. It's a beautiful state.
Oh, I've ridden on those wild horses at the beach. Okay, don't know what you're talking about.
Are you talking about assateague?
Yeah, that's what people...
Because I remember when I was a kid and people would say assateague, and I'd be like, are they cursing or is this a real thing we're talking about? Yeah.
All right, Johnson, congratulations.
Nice.
You widen your lead 7-5 over Scoot with a 40-5 win this week in Bluff the Fluffs. Congratulations, Scoot. You got to get back up on it next time.
Scoot, like the Pirates, you are games back,
Can't believe Johnson got the win on a topic that I didn't know as much about.
Well, see, the problem is, Scoot, it's very hard to find topics that you
know. Yeah, food, I mean, come on, Scoot. Cheese, what are we supposed to do
food.
Here?
Movies, I do a food one every other week. You 80s get a food
sitcoms.
One.
Can we get something here? Saved by the Bell. Can I get a trivia tonight about Bluff the Fluffs on Saved by the Bell?
Again,
Karate Kid 1, 2, and 3.
Listeners can chime in on online, on Twitter, and let us know. I feel like they want to hear the West Virginia questions.
Yeah, they do.
Can I get
of
some?
Of course they
feel
do.
Like they,
Three Amigos. Can I get something? Come on, throw me a bone here.
I'm hoping that somebody out there John Ray was the tallest guy ever to play at WVU. Like, I feel like.
Yeah, no, I think they do too, because we kind of pride the show on being like a conversation. Like, you're talking to your friends about WVU sports. So I think, Yeah, that's what we. Scoot, we can't Come just on. Talk about Balky Bartokomus all the
that
time.
That would be great, Cousin Larry Appleton.
Cousin Larry Appleton, because it was one of your favorite shows. We can't just do that every time.
Come on, man.
You know what
we
they
can't
say.
Just talk about dinosaur shaped. McNuggets and macaroni and cheese every time.
Johnson, sometimes I mean, the world looks perfect. Nothing to rearrange. Sometimes you just get a feeling like you need some kind of change.
Oh, man.
No matter what the odds are this time.
What is it? On the wings of my dreams.
That's the sound of iPhones closing apps all over the country.
Can we get something on Who's the Boss one time? Come on. Throw me some Tony Danza questions.
Oh, man. This has gone south quick. Ayo, away. All right, well, listen, let's take a break. We'll come back with the one segment that generally has nothing to do with West Virginia, which is our segment we like to call I Can't Believe My Ears. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back on Got Your Ears On.
Tactical Legion Knives, a West Virginia owned and operated company that specializes in heavy duty tactical knives and gear for the professional warrior, the weekend warrior, and the outdoor warrior. Our products are built tough. For who? For warriors. Hey Mountaineer fans, make sure you go on Amazon and search Tactical Legion Knives, and when you do, make sure you put in the promo code 25TOBRADIO for Tob Radio. You'll get 25% off on Tactical Legion Knives.
All right, welcome back to Got Your Ears On, Guido, along with Scoot and Johnson. Don't forget, check out our website, gotyourearson.com. It's kind of the hub. You find everything out about us. Right, Johnson? You can see all the show notes. You can see cool things.
Yeah, a lot of cool things. I would rate the things as cool, Guido. That's what I would do. I would say they're cool.
I mean, if you were to go on the interwebs and give it a rating instead of stars, you would give it cool.
Cools.
Definitely cools. Johnson doesn't know this yet. I'll surprise him with this. He and I this fall are going to be working on a part of that website that allows our fans to buy stuff like stickers and t-shirts
merch.
And other things. So how exciting. Merch. What, Scooty, if you were to have an item of merch that you would like to see in the Got Your Ears On store?
I mean, this is...
What do you think is the most important item
like
of merch?
Like a cheese grater? Got Your Ears On cheese grater? I mean...
Got Your Ears On cheese grater.
That would be perfect, right?
Yeah, right. You like a grated cheese instead of a sliced cheese?
We're going to get the cheese slicers as well, but
the
cheese grater is an easy logo
What
fix.
If we just did cutting boards? I mean,
we
cutting,
could
like
do
a
cutting
nice
boards.
Charcuterie cutting
yes.
display board?
Yes.
Yeah. See? This is a very highbrow. I don't know about those other WVU podcasts. We're super highbrow. No pint glasses. It's all going to be charcuterie plates and
fondue
like
things.
Nice wine
and yes. fondue.
Fun and a branded fondue pot. That's yes.
Well, whatever it is, you're going to be able to find it on the site. So, gotyouryearson.com. And we also, so we say this every week, but if you're joining us new, we always put everything we talk about, all those show notes, all those links, right in the posting with the link to the most recent show right on the page. You can just listen right on the site. So, check it out.
Definitely. Thanks, guys. Check that out, gotyouryearson.com. Well, it's time for our weekly segment of nonsense. It's a segment we like to call, I Can't Believe My Ears. What do you got, Scoot?
Okay, well, I know we try to avoid politics.
Yes.
Uh-oh.
But this one is, this is going
to
hit
you. So you're going to immediately talk about it.
So you're going to steer us right into it.
Excellent. I'm going to immediately talk about politics. But...
Perfect.
This also has a connection to something near and dear to Johnson's heart, and that is his hair. So here recently, I don't know if you guys caught the news item out of the White House. However, the Trump administration is looking to change the rules around shower heads and water pressure in order to keep the president's hair perfect. The proposal is to increase the amount of water that can pass through shower heads, which in 1992 was changed to 2.5 gallons.
Are you aware of that? I don't
Okay.
think.
Okay. So President Trump.
So we're getting better water pressure.
President Trump wants more water pressure. And part of that is because he says, and I quote, because my hair, I don't know about you, but it has to be perfect. Perfect. So when I think of guys with perfect hair, let's think about WVU football players with perfect hair.
Okay. Well,
who would you rate at the top?
You mean like all time players that you can think of?
I think all time.
Well, Clint Trickett had like, he would take his helmet off and do the like suave commercial, you know? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You think Greer wanted that title?
I think he's in there. Yeah. I think
Greer was in there. What about and it's a name that I don't like to say, but Coach Holgs, he had Trump-esque hair.
He did have some hair.
Yeah.
He had some issues with the hair. I believe Matthew McConaughey used him as an inspiration for a movie that he was in. Like legit Holgerson's hairstyle as what he was trying to accomplish for the character that McConaughey was playing. It was Dallas Buyers Club, maybe? Is that a McConaughey movie?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
I think that one, he had like some questionable hair.
Do you remember I think it was 2 seasons ago? I think it was 2 seasons ago, Joss Sills had the
mullet
where he had dyed.
Yes.
The mullet and
I mean, that's questionable hair. Some might argue that Nate Adrian had some interesting hairstyles throughout his career.
Well, how did we forget that? He had his senior year basketball hair was great hair.
But he looked like a Chia Pet up until that point.
Okay.
If you recall, he had a very much a Chia Pet like look. Very, very shaved, or maybe even a Mon Chi Chi.
Well, you know, I think you got to feel out your hair landing spot, you know.
Chase Harler from this past couple years. He was trying to do something. I don't know that it worked.
He was early on. Remember then he just got rid of the headband. He was like, I'm not doing this anymore.
Yeah, because it was ridiculous because it wasn't really holding any hair. If you were to rate the shower pressure at your house, Johnson, would you be in favor of this proposed change? Do you feel that the shower pressure contributes or takes away from your hair?
I mean, given that I just reach up and use whatever hair product my wife has put on the shower shelf,
I call foul on this. Flag on the play. There's no way. Johnson, I feel like with your hair, there is a specific product that you have to have at the store.
I'm flattered that you think that, but
I don't believe this.
And water pressure would, since it's something I don't think about, I would think no. I'm good on it.
For our listeners, I know you can't see this. At some point, we'll go live, where you can see us on a YouTube or something. But Johnson has what many would categorize as Kennedy hair.
If by some you mean you,
it's a Kennedy hairstyle.
Would characterize it as
he used it. To border on the Rick Astley hair, but it's now a little bit more Kennedy-esque. It's very distinguished. It's very what's the word I want, Guido? How would you categorize that? It's very
got an old a pompadour. What do they call the old
pompadour? Yeah, maybe he's got a pompadour.
I feel like it's the old white guy hairstyle. Like if you went in to get your hair done and you said, "Hey, give me the older white guy." That's the hairstyle.
He's got a nice coif.
I mean, I'm kind of a buzz cut. You're kind of a crew cut. You know,
Guido would be voted most likely to dye his
hair. Yeah, the man has
that's a negative.
He has zero gray.
Zero gray hair.
Like, how is that possible?
I don't have any gray
hair. It's ridiculous. A guy your age to not have any gray hair, one must believe that you've caught a couple of commercials with Randy Johnson and or Keith Hernandez, and maybe you are taking care of business on the head.
Don't be a hater just because I've got the color. It's all gonna go great. See, here's the difference. You guys are gradually going gray. Like, I'm going to wake up like one day at 52 and it's gonna be like just gray is what I
and then you'll dye it and it'll be what it is now. So the question to you, Guido, does water pressure do anything to you in your hair?
I think that, you know, for me, it doesn't really matter. I have very little, you know, I got a nice buzz cut, so it's definitely not.
I can't imagine water pressure really has any bearing on your hair whatsoever.
No, whatsoever.
So is this an excuse?
More about getting the soap out. The velocity of the water is more about getting the soap off the body.
I agree. I think this is maybe more for massage purposes.
All right. Well, listen, let's wrap it up this week. Thanks everybody for tuning in. Don't forget, check us out online. You can find us on social media, Instagram and Twitter at Got Your Ears. You can also find us on our website, Got Your Ears On. Don't forget, you can also give us a call at 304-518-GYEO. You leave us a message, we'll play it on the show and hear what you have to say. Thanks for listening, everybody. We're gonna take a couple weeks off. We'll be back in a few weeks as we get closer to football season. We'll be back to talk more WVU sports and football. We appreciate everybody listening, liking, and subscribing. You've been listening to Got Your Ears On.